serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servants be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee till the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Oh, let me feel thee near me. The world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still. Above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. Oh, let me see thy footmarks and in them plant my own. My hope to follow duly is in thy strength alone. Oh, guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me to the end. And then in heaven receive me, my Savior and my friend. Oh, guide me, call me, draw me, uphold me till the end. And then in heaven receive me, my Savior and my friend.
And Sister Marsha and Sister Natalie, who will be walking together with us today. The Lord bless you. Shall we bow our hearts to pray together? Father in heaven, we thank you for your presence again in this Bible study. Thank you for the privilege of bringing us to yourself and for sitting with us over your word. As we come again, we ask that your word will open up to us. You will speak to us with simplicity and with clarity. We ask that your word will mix with faith in our hearts even today. And so, Lord, we want to plead with you that as we gather in different centers, in different families, some are sitting alone as individuals, some are sitting with their family, others have adopted this as their Bible study, some are in a discipleship class. We do ask you, Lord, that wherever we are, please reach out to each one of us. Some are on their Facebook, others are on Telegram, others are on MixLR, others are on other platforms. All of us seeking to meet with you. Even those on the YouTube, we ask, O God, that your spirit will come upon us. Meet us at our very point of need individually. We are scattered in different parts of the world. We ask, Lord, that in whichever place we are, whatever time zone any one of us is, reach out to us, O God, and encounter us deliberately and set our path aright to the glory of your name. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Now, last week, we began to look at Esther chapter 8, and we read the entire 17 verses in that passage. But I know that as we were studying, we had only stopped in verse 6 as we look at the intercessory life, the prayer, the request of Queen Esther and what she was longing for. So today again, we are going to start and we're going to ask Sister Marsha to read Esther from chapter 8. You will read for us verse 1 to verse 9. And then Sister Natalie from Belize will help us take it from verse 10 down to verse 17. Just for us to keep having a grip of the scripture that we are walking through. Shall we go on, Sister Marsha?
Yes, sir. Okay, so Esther chapter 8 from verse 1, it's a New King James Version. So on that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman the Agite, and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, "If it pleases the king, and if I found favor in his sight, and this thing seems right to the king, and I'm pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are all in the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen?" And then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, "Indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke." Amen.
Thank you. So, Sister Natalie, will you take it from that verse 10?
"And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses bred with swift steeds. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions. On one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all people, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers who rode on royal horses went out, hastened and pressed on by the king's command. And the decree was issued in Shushan, the citadel. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews, because fear of the Jews fell upon them.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. It's always amazing to again read the scripture and see what God is going to help us to discover. By the time we are concluding our study last week, we had come to that verse 6, and we're just about now to look at the unlimited answer to the request that Esther was bringing. We did say that if we will only take our stand, God is able to do beyond what we could ask or imagine. We saw that all the opportunities that Esther was given to ask anything she liked up to the half of the kingdom, she never asked for anything. She didn't ask for goods. She was not asking for palaces. She's not asking for lands. She said, if my life will be precious in your sight. I saw an intercessor who is pleading for the life of her people, for the souls of men, to see God issue a decree for their deliverance. That was what we saw as we were looking at that story last week. So I would like us to go quickly and begin from that verse 7. We have studied up to verse 6. We have seen the intercession of Sister Esther. Now we want to look at what was the king's response unto that request. And the Bible said, then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, I indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. You yourself write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name. Seal it with the king's signet ring, for whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. Now, we are looking at the critical prayer or request that Esther was making. Esther knew that it is not about the death of Haman that is the issue. It is about the decrees, the devices, the wiles, the strategies, the schemes that have been laid on ground that will bring the children of Israel onto serious damage. Even though Haman had been put on the gallows and he had been killed, and his house had been handed over to Esther to do with it whatever she wanted, but we see again that Esther knew that all of that will not upturn the decree that the king has signed. She knew that what the king had said, if nothing else was done to it, it's going to stand. And on that day, 13th day of the month of Adar, that decree will come into action, even though the man who occasioned that wicked decree was already dead. So in this, we are looking at spiritual warfare. We are looking at the fact that if we are going to prevail and bring a divine visitation upon our land, upon our nation, we need also to be very strategic. You don't need to be wasting the opportunity to engage the throne of grace. You don't need to be using the privilege of prayer only to ask for peripheral things that does not actually address the fulcrum of the problem in the land. We noted that for Esther, she was focused on what she was looking for. Even though the king said, I'm giving you up to the half of my kingdom, that was not the interest. Having half of the kingdom will not overrun that decree from taking place on that day. So she knew that my request, my cry, is to upset or to turn around or to nullify the devices that Haman had already devised and committed the king to. And so I wanted to note how Esther was making that request and what was the answer. It is the answer that was very important to us today. And she said, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I'm pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Amedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's promises. The request was, let the king write a letter to revoke the letters that were devised by Haman that the king had already signed. Now, that will look as if that's the thing to do. And I believe that it's wonderful. But you see, the point is that it will take a counsel to overthrow another counsel. The law of the Medes and the Persians that we're dealing with here, once the king had appended his signature and had sealed it with the signet ring of the king, it cannot be repealed. It cannot be revoked. It must be allowed to have its own course. So for the king, the way he answered is what I'm sensing God will have us to deal with, particularly today before we start reading the book. Let's go on to that verse 7. I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. Now, that, I seem to say, Esther, anything about Haman is in your hand. Anything about his household, I have handed over to you. And there is nothing about Haman again. He's gone. He's dead and gone. But the request that Esther was making goes beyond Haman. It goes beyond the death of Haman. There are many people that have brought devices that is troubling our world today, but they are dead and gone. There are people that devise songs that change the life of the youth, songs that threw them, you know, into confusion. It has become such a popular song, even though the man who composed the song is dead and gone. What they devise is still working, it's still affecting the people. So what we are seeing in this request, which we are going to begin to apply to ourselves, is the fact that we cannot be satisfied with what I call the initial response that we have received from God. We need not to be satisfied with the relief that we got because the hammer of this world had now been hung on the gallows. It was not sufficient for us to stop our prayer there. The Bible says, and Esther spoke yet again to the king. That's to say that she pressed on, she knew that something much more has to be done if the deliverance of the Jews will be completely enhanced. She knew that promoting Mordecai to be standing before the king and even giving him the entire house of Haman will not revoke that decree that had been written and signed in the king's name. So she knew that, yes, we thank God for this, we thank God for this, we thank God for this. But there's something beyond that we are asking that God will step into. And these have been the critical issue that our sister Esther represented. Now, before we come to read the book a bit, I just want you to mark the answers. He said, verse 8, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. I was seeing an unlimited answer to their prayer. I was seeing the favor of God upon Esther, upon Mordecai, and upon the Jews. That this king is saying, write your own, write yourself. Write as it pleases you concerning the Jew. Whatever you want the Jew to become in the land, write it. And seal it with the king's signet ring. Put my stamp on it and bring it for signature. What an unlimited answer to prayer. That God, when he has found a man who can stand, you know, in his presence, God is willing to do far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine, beyond our widest imagination and above our highest dream, God is able to work. That's what we are beginning to see in this story. We are seeing that beyond what anybody could imagine, God started to turn things around on behalf of Mordecai and Esther. But they knew that they cannot wait. They cannot hold their peace on that. They cannot jubilate with that, because the bigger picture is yet to be handled. So he said, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name. Seal it with the king's signet. And whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet, no one can revoke. You know, an open blanket check handed over to Esther. Fill in anything you like. And you know, we have so much great promises in the word of God that say, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Hallelujah. So we will now ask Sister Natasha to start reading from the book for us, The Unlimited Answer to Prayer. Will you start in page 136?
The Unlimited Answer to Prayer. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write you also for the Jews as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Esther 8:7-8. I am overwhelmed with what I hear the Lord speak to my heart in this matter. Esther here was only a mirror of what God will do if I come into the presence of the King of Kings with passion for the deliverance of our people. I perceive that the golden scepter is being held out towards me and my brethren. It is now our own turn to rewrite the decree. It is our turn to reverse what the enemy has done in the past years.
Amen.
It is our own turn to put in place whatsoever we desire to see in the nations henceforth. This indeed is the privilege of prayer we have been graciously given. It must not be wasted on lust and personal pleasure.
Now, before you go on, Sister Natalie, I just want us to mark some few things there. He said, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews. Many, many times we know how to complain, how to react, how to criticize what others have done, what others have set in place. When we begin to see the effect of their devices, the first thing we do is to complain, we criticize it and all of that. But God is waiting for us to do beyond that. Are you a disciple? Are you a child of God? Are you in the body of Christ? God is waiting for us to do beyond that. Criticism of a wrong thing does not change it. Even an empty protest does not change it. Grumbling about does not change it, doesn't revoke it. There's only one thing that God says must be done. And I saw Esther being charged with it. It says, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews. Haman wrote his own and got the king to sign it. The children of darkness, they are writing their own here and there. They are composing their songs. They are doing all kinds of things that they know how to do. But God is saying, instead of complaining about what they are doing, instead of worrying yourself about what they are doing, do what? You yourself, write your own decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring. Whatsoever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. Now, if God, which we are looking at even in the shadow of this story, if God were to answer your prayer, I'm hearing God saying, you yourself make a decree, write your own decree. What do you want God to establish? Write it out. Write your decree yourself concerning the Jews as you please. And do so in the king's name. Seal it with the king's signet ring so that you know that what we are talking about is not a joke. So it is written in the king's name, whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. And am I not hearing God saying, whatsoever you bind there on earth shall be bound in heaven? Whatsoever you permit on earth is what heavens will release. It looks as if God is giving us, as his children, a great privilege in the place of prayer, a great privilege to set the agenda, a great privilege to set what exactly is going on in the land. Say, write your own, you yourself, write your own decree for your people. Write what you want them to become. Write what you want them to do on the day of vengeance. Write and seal it with a king's signet. Now, this is a very important lesson that we are beginning to pick. So, can I ask our sister to continue a little more?
Yes, sir. Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hung upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. It sounds in my ears as, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Mm-hmm. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Thank
Matthew 16:19.
Yes, thank you. Before you go ahead, so we're just noting that if we will come to pray, God has pledged himself to answer prayer. And he seeks to do it according to his will, according to the word of God, even in our midst. Right, so let's read on a little more.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I have given unto you the house of Haman. Mm-hmm. I have given unto you the territory where Haman sought to exercise dominion. I have given unto you the right and the authority in which Haman walked before. You have the whole house now. You can have whatsoever you wish now. I have held out to you the golden scepter of the entire realm of the kingdom. It is not just Haman's head to be crushed, but all that he had devised against the Jews. The ball is now in your court. What an unlimited answer to the prayer of Esther.
What an unlimited prayer. So I want you to see the analogy we are drawing now. I want you to note that, like I said in that paragraph, that it sounded to me in my ears, as the promise that Jesus made even in the New Testament, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It looks as if God is saying, take this, take your place, make your request known to God. Don't worry about how big it is. It is according to his own riches and glory, even by Christ Jesus. So we want to note deliberately that God is ready to answer prayer far, far beyond Ahasuerus. And if we will call on God as he has instructed us in Isaiah and all the places we read, I want you to know that God who answers prayer, he will answer your cry as well. Now, so can we read on from the place where our sister has stopped? Let's ask Brother Charles to pick it from Esther pressed in until the golden scepter was held out unto her. Can you pick it from there, sir?
Esther pressed in until the golden scepter was held out unto her.
Mm.
She came to the place where she could now determine what happened in the kingdom. If nothing was done to reverse the devices of Haman, it would now be her fault. But this is little compared with what I hear the Father in heaven say to us, his saints, today. The King of all kings, the possessor of heaven and earth, has held out the golden scepter unto me. I sense that I have come into a matter I dare not take for granted. It is no more about Haman or his devices. It is about what I rise to do with the golden scepter of the kingdom of God being held out to me.
Amen.
To do a useful work in this generation. Write ye also for the Jews.
Please, Brother Charles, please hold on, because you are going to a very important aspect now. We are saying that even as we are studying this, please don't forget that we are not just talking about Esther and the earthly king Ahasuerus. Don't forget that ever before Esther will come to make this request to the king, she has been in the place of prayer. She had been waiting for God. So again, I was hearing the answer of Ahasuerus to her as if it is a re-echo of what God is saying. And I wish all of you will be listening carefully to what God is saying now. Now, God is saying, write your own decree for the people of God. The Bible says, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. Now, the question is that if what God has given to us as a privilege of prayer we did not handle it well. And we're using it for peripheral issues. And we're using it just to solve personal problems, personal issues that does not have any kingdom value. Then it will no longer be as if God has not given us opportunity. He said, if nothing was done to revise the devices of Haman, it will be our fault. It is in this regard I wanted to charge you, brothers and sisters. He said, write your own decree. So you also will decree a thing. Let's ask Sister Masha to please quickly read for us that same passage we read before, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, and then you will now help us also read chapter 18, verse 18 and verse 19.
So Matthew 16, verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
All right. Thank you. Now you can go and read 18:18.
Okay. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen.
All right. Let's quickly check that from other versions. Will you please, Brother Charles, check if you have the Amplified version? I want you to read those two verses. Chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 19. Chapter 18 and verse 18. Both in Amplified version. Let's read these passages and catch what are we talking about when God has given us the privilege of prayer. Yes, my brother.
Matthew 16:19, Amplified Classic. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. And then
18
says, truly, I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven.
All right. So can you see what we are talking about? The privilege we have. So when I saw in the scripture and the king was saying to Esther, you yourself write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name. And seal it with the king's signet ring. And whatsoever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. Now we see Jesus now again bringing the word of God to us. And he's saying, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever, and the word whatsoever is very strong. Anything at all. Whatever you bind, that is, whatever you declare to be improper and unlawful on earth. Did you see the privilege that God is giving to us? To also establish a decree for God's people on the face of the earth. It is in the book of Job that the Bible says, you shall decree a thing. I think we should quickly check that as well, because this is very important as we press on with our Bible study. Let's quickly go to Job chapter 22 and verse 27 to the 8.
Okay, so verse 27. You will make your prayer to him and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows and you will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. Amen.
Amen. Let me read it now from the Amplified Version. It said, you will make your prayer to him, and he, the Lord Almighty, will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. Now, as we were finishing this chapter in the book of Esther, he said, and the Jews had light. The light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. Now, we are dealing with this today because what has been allowed on us, because we did not make our own decree, we did not declare what we want to be unlawful on the earth. So we have found it all flowing around us. We are simply complaining. We are simply saying, look, oh, this Haman, what he has written, the device he has made. We are talking like that. We are looking at all that is going on in our different nations. And it was looking as if the people in the parliament, they are the ones that are making their decrees and writing their bills and their laws, and they are influenced by the kingdom of darkness. But God is giving me and you authority today. God is saying, write your own decree. You yourself write a decree. I'm looking unto God that we will rise from this Bible study as God's children. And you might be saying, but we are not many. Look at that chapter 18, 18 and 19 we read. Can someone help us go back there now? Please read for us. Please read for us. Brother Charles, you are the one who has been reading Amplified for us. Can you read that Amplified of 18, 18, Matthew 18, 18 and 19 again? Because I want you to know that as far as God is concerned, if he will find another Esther, we will find another Mordecai in our day. He said, you will ask anything, you yourself shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you. It shall be established for you. As if God is saying, write it in my name and seal it with my signet ring. It shall be established. My brother, can you read 18, 18 and 19?
Truly, I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. Mm-hmm. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, mm-hmm. harmonize together, mm-hmm. make a symphony together,
yes.
about whatever,
yes.
anything and everything,
yes.
they may ask, mm-hmm. it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven.
Now, I'm praying that you will not leave this Bible study without beginning to understand that God is bringing you to the kingdom of God at a time like this to be able to cause the will of God to be done on the earth, and particularly in your own nation, in your own locality, in your own city, in your own context where you are. Now look at the way that scripture is put. I want to read it again. Truly I tell you, and this is Jesus speaking passionately, say, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid, whatever you declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, this might look at what is Brother Billy talking about. There are too many things that we have allowed because we did not make our own decree. There are so many issues that are going on in our city, going on our schools, going on over our children. that have been written by the hammers of this day, by the principalities and powers. You may think that it is just an educational bill. You may just think that it is just that they say we should stop prayer in schools. You may just think that, well, that's what government is saying. But you do not know that there is a principality behind that government. You know that there is a Haman that has written that as a device so that the kingdom of God will not find expression. But what is God saying to me and you today? He said, you yourself. And when I'm reading that verse 19 now, he said, again I tell you, if two of you on earth, we're not talking when we get to heaven. We're not talking of what we shall become when we get to heaven. He said, if two of you on earth, yes, you present in California, or you are in San Francisco, or you are in Toronto, are you in Belize, are you in South Africa, are you in Nigeria, wherever you are, if you are on earth, he said, again I tell you, the two of you on earth, please emphasize that. The two of you on earth agree and organize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. We are asking a question. We are in the kingdom of God at a time like this, at a time when recklessness, reckless wickedness is everywhere. You are in the kingdom of God now, where you can see the youth, you can see the young girls, young ladies being violated everywhere. You can see all kind of devices that Haman, the prince of darkness, had written. But you have only complained about it. You are only criticizing it. Heaven is saying, no, that's not what you are supposed to do. You yourself, can you write your own decree? It shall be established. So you yourself, you will decide and devise a decree and it shall be established for you. God will make sure it happens. So as we begin to pray today, I want to request you to check. What have you been doing with the privilege of prayer? What have you been doing with the opportunity to talk to God? The golden scepter that God has, stretched out towards you to bring you into his presence, what are we doing with it? Are you looking away? Can we just go here and talk about peripheral issues and we are not bringing any decree that will forbid this recklessness, that will change the direction of things in our countries, that we reposition the church in order for the body of Christ to be able to fulfill our mission on earth? Where are these Esthers? Where are these Mordecais that will agree together in prayer? Thank God that the Bible says, Jesus himself said, again I tell you, if two of you on earth, he's not asking for more than two. The quorum for this kind of effective kingdom praying is not more than two. He said, if two of you on earth shall agree, and I'm looking at these two brothers or two sisters that say, let us agree together on this matter. We don't want to see this tribe in our nation again. We want to ask God to establish it for us. We forbid him, we declare to be improper and unlawful in our own land. He said, that is what heaven is going to declare unlawful. The why must it begin with us is because God has ordained that it is the man on earth that will cause the kingdom of God to be established on the face of the earth. If we do not forbid anything, there's nothing heaven can forbid. If we do not permit something or release something to come on the earth, God is waiting and said, nobody has asked us to release it. Nobody has asked me to do it for them. This is the critical issue of prayer that I'm beginning to again see as we're looking at this particular chapter of the book of Esther. When he said, you yourself write your own decree as it pleases you for the Jews in my name, in the king's name, and let it be sealed by the king's signet ring, and let it be sent everywhere at the expense of the king. God is saying, write your own, write your own. The Holy Spirit has been bringing this again and again to us, that instead of mourning, instead of complaining, instead of criticizing, which I know is what the church knows how to do. The church knows how to make empty noise. We don't know how to initiate an action in the presence of God. We would rather be reacting to what the decrees or the devices that Haman had already brought. So this day, as we push on this particular study, I wanted to look at that very quickly, because that's the essence of this chapter. I was looking at the chapter where Mordecai has now been brought before the king. He is now a man in authority. And Esther has now been fully established. But what was their position established for? What are they doing with it? And I saw that God was showing them what to do. Rather than grab the house of Haman and begin to annex it to their personal property, rather than they ask for clothes and ask for another chariot to be riding, they were now discovering that something to do to defeat the devices and the schemes and the counsel of the men of this world, the prince of darkness, is to write our own decree, to make a decree ourselves. If you join me in this Bible study today, I'm hoping that God will stir you up. That wherever you are, you will take your space in the place of prayer. You will know that there's nothing we will ask God according to his will, in his name, that he will not do. He said, your Father in heaven will do it. He said, again I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, and whatever means anything and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. If the Spirit of God is stirring your heart today, and faith is rising in your heart to go to the place of prayer and say, now, Lord, I didn't know that you have given me this unlimited privilege to come into your presence and to, on my knees, rule in the affairs of men on the earth. I have been so peripheral with my prayer. I have just been tripping about with little things. I've never thought that I can make a decree that will be binding on the face of the earth. We want to pray that God will raise disciples that have this understanding, and they are ready to engage it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, can we go ahead where we stopped?
Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring.
Yes.
What an instruction. Haman has written his own agenda. It would be carried out, not because it should, but because you have not written your own.
Charles, can you repeat that? Because that's a critical matter for me and you today.
Yes. Haman has written his own agenda. It would be carried out, not because it should, but because you have not written your own.
That is the matter. What is going on and is looking as if we can't stop it is because we have not written our own. We have not engaged the golden scepter that God has lifted to us. We have not engaged the access to God's presence, access to his favor that God has released upon us. And that's why we see what the devil is doing and see it is unstoppable. It's only because you have not written your own. Brother, go ahead.
But because you have not written your own, write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you, in the king's name. It was the day of Haman yesterday, but today is your day. This is your day to strike your generation. What a matter for me this day. Haman was quick to write all that came to his ambitious heart. He was so meticulous in writing all he wanted done against the Jews and all he wanted for himself. Once the king held out the scepter to him for the brief moment he had, he did not waste time to devise all he wanted from his wicked heart. In one day, he had got the king to sign into law the destruction of the Jews. In another moment, he counseled the king to arrange an extraordinary coronation, believing it was for himself, but which turned out to be for Mordecai. If Haman was given a chance of the golden scepter, even for a day, he would do much havoc to the Jews. Again, he had planned and planted the gallows just to exploit the golden scepter again to secure the execution of Mordecai. And it would have happened. Now, yesterday was Haman's. Today is yours.
Can you repeat
what do
that?
You write?
Now.
Yes. Now.
Yes.
Yesterday was Haman's. Today is yours.
Can you please, whosoever is sitting by your side, if you are together in this Bible study, tell that person, say, today is your day. Yesterday was Hamas. But today is your own day. Today. As far as God is concerned, this is your day. It's your day to do a matter for the kingdom. We want to beg God to release our hearts that this Bible study will raise men and women who are taking advantage, who are engaging the privilege of the throne of grace that God has invited us to. And not to use the throne of grace just to ask for biscuits, to ask for such peripheral things that you only consume and you forget. To begin to come and make decrees that heaven will uphold, which no man can revoke. Yes, sir.
Now, yesterday was Haman's. Today is yours. What do you write with your own day? What do you write now with the golden scepter held out to you?
That's a question that we cannot over ask. What are you doing with this golden scepter? This favor of God that has come on your life. What are you doing with it? What are you investing it in? So, brother, go on with this day. I think you should push on.
Write ye also for the Jews. Do not weep anymore about what Haman has written. Write ye also for the Jews. Set an agenda for the Jews. It is now in your hand to lay a foundation for the future. It does not have to be the decree written by Haman alone that will rule the kingdom. Write also for the Jews. Do not go about struggling to argue with Haman's devices. Write your own now.
Are you hearing the word of God? Are you hearing what God is saying we should do? If we are going to be responsible in the kingdom of God, set an agenda for the Jews. It is now in your hand to lay a foundation for the future. It does not have to be the decree written by Haman alone that will rule the kingdom. Write also for the Jews. Do not go about struggling to argue with Haman's devices. Write your own. Rachas, please go ahead.
The king has given his name to be used. He had given his ring to seal whatever Esther would write. The royal courier services were at the disposal of Mordecai and Esther. Write you also for the Jews. What a privilege to make a difference for God in our generation. Whereas Esther had the ring, the seal, and the name of an earthly king, we have the name that is above all other names on earth and in heaven. His name is made available to us to do a useful work for the church. We have the backing of the Godhead to decree whatsoever we want, and it shall be granted. We must rise up right away.
We must rise up right away. God has given us his name. Whereas Esther had the ring, the seal, and the name of an earthly king, we have the name that's above all other names on earth and in heaven. His name is made available to us now to do a useful work for the church. We have the backing of the Godhead to decree whatsoever we want, and it shall be granted. We must rise up right away. We must rise up right away. Brother Charles, go ahead. Go ahead, please.
We must accept the responsibility for whatever happens henceforth in the land. God has given us his name. He has given us his ring, the seal of the kingdom. He has given us the royal courier services. He has also lent us the instrument of government in all the kingdoms, which is prayer.
Amen.
This privilege of prayer must not be wasted. We must behave wisely at this time in Jesus' name.
Amen.
For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. This is clear. Whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, no man can reverse. How much more will whatsoever is written in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings, and sealed with his own ring of everlasting covenant which made in his blood and his immutable word of promise, may no man reverse.
Amen. Amen. Let me just ask you to wait there before we go on. And it is that if we don't take responsibility for whatever happens henceforth in the land, as if we did not have the golden scepter, as if we did not have the name, as if we did not have the ring, as if we did not have the courier that God has made available, say, ask anything that you may ask, anything and everything, it shall be done for you. It was very interesting as we read that scripture. It said, it shall be done for you by my Father that is in heaven. Only for us to take a position of prayer. No matter how few we are listening to this message today, I want you to do something about it. Even if you are only two, husband and wife, you are enough to again make a decree and trust that God will honor it and bring it to pass. Now, it's a challenge that God is asking me and you to rise up for. We have a name. Whatever we do in his name, he said he will establish. Especially when we are praying according to his will. And we have his own ring of everlasting covenant made in his blood. And his immutable word of promise that no man can reverse. This is what God has given to us. Now, let's ask Rachel to wait there. And we now ask Natalie to pick it from. This is the challenge you must rise up to in this day. Can Sister Natalie pick it up from there for us?
Yes, sir. This is the challenge you must rise up to in this day. The day must not run out on you while you stand gazing. It is time for you to arise and deliberately labor to write and inscribe on the hearts of the youths of our day the will and plan of God. The epistle to be written is not with ink or paper. It is to be carved into the fleshly hearts of men. As you trust the Lord for his word on your lips, it is not right anymore to weep and mourn for all that Haman has done in the land and for all his devices. What to do now is to arise, write, and inscribe on the hearts of those that have been given to us the life of Christ while we have the opportunity. And if it be done in the name of the Lord and sealed with his ring, no man may reverse it. It will remain indelible on the hearts of men. This is a clear assurance to me again this day. What we diligently do in his name and sealed with the immutable word of God, no man may reverse.
Amen.
It will remain fresh in the lives of men for several years. I sense it is time to be fruitful and multiply in the land, in the living for the kingdom of our God. We must indeed rise with definiteness unto this open door while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work.
Esther, thank you very much. I want you to wait at that point first so that we can ruminate on this before we begin to draw the conclusions that I see the Lord wanting us to draw today. And I saw that what we are seeing in this passage, we are seeing an outworking of a secret prayer life that we have known of Esther and we have known of Mordecai. What we are hearing now is something that nobody ever imagined. But now overnight, because God is on the throne to answer prayer, we are saying now Esther is giving an unlimited right. Write your own. Use my name. Write it in my name. Take my signet ring and spread it through my couriers. Wow. This is an answer to the inner prayer that they were praying before. And I sense that if we also will stand before God and you will take this responsibility, we have been calling it responsibility, because I now realize that prayer, kingdom praying, is a responsibility. He said, whatever you declare unlawful on the earth is what God is going to declare. It is our responsibility not to allow evil to continue to perpetuate in our day. In your own community. So that you also can say, as long as I'm here, I'm the light of this place. Darkness cannot settle here. And it shall be established. It shall be done for you by our Father that is in heaven. Now please go ahead. This is a clear assurance to me again this day. Can you pick it from there, Sister Natalie?
Yes, sir. This is a clear assurance to me again this day. What we diligently do in his name and sealed with the immutable word of God, no man may reverse. Mm-hmm. It will remain fresh in the lives of men for several years. I sense it is time to be fruitful and multiply in the land of the living for the kingdom of our God. We must indeed rise with definiteness unto this open door, while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work.
Mm. For the night comes when no man can walk. So, can we look at Esther's response to this responsibility? Let's go first to read the book of Esther, chapter 8 and verse 9. Sister Marsha, would you like to pick what is the Esther's immediate response to this before we now start reading?
Okay, so Esther chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. So the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, and the princes of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to every province in his own script, to every people in their own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of King Azarias, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses bred from swift steeds. Mm. Amen.
Thank you very much. I just want God to give us a clear picture of how to respond. When Esther had prayed secretly and had come to make this request guided by prayer, guided by the wisdom of God, when Esther had not decided to look for goods or for properties, when Esther was not excited to annex the house of Naaman and begin to demonstrate and say, yes, all the farmed land of Haman is mine. She knew that that's not the key. The key is for God to overthrow the cancer and the devices of Haman. And we're looking at the fact that God was ready to answer their prayer, and he did. So we now want to look at what was their response in the day of their own opportunity. And we read that verse 9 and verse 10. So the king's scribes, you know, when I read the scripture and I saw the word so, you see, it's not just ordinarily put there. That is in response to what the king said. In response, just as the king spoke it, the Bible says, so the king's scribes were called at that time. Oh my God. I just want to see promptness in their own obedience. Promptness. They were prompt. They were ready to obey. Says, so the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan. And on the 23rd day, you know, I'm just excited with the word of God. They are keeping dates. They are keeping exactly where they were. They were keeping records. They didn't allow anything to be lost. They were deliberate. See, the king's scribes were called at that time. This is what I call the legal drafters. Those lawyers that are very specialized in drafting agreement or drafting a decree or a constitution, they brought them together. And I want you to see. And on the 23rd day, for you to know that they are not gambling, they were very deliberate. It was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, and the princes of the provinces from India all the way to Ethiopia. And what did they do? The Bible said 127 provinces in all, to every province in his own script, to every people in their own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. Oh my God, I'm seeing something here. When God said, write your own, don't allow the decree of Haman to be the one flying around. Write your own for the Jews. God was going to give it an increase. God was going to cause it to be effective when we ask anything in his name. So I saw how they went and they got all these scribes and they all sat down in the palace. They were devising a decree for the Jews. How I wish the Lord will raise brothers and sisters among us who will agree to come and sit aside and carefully check what should be what we should write to overrun, to counteract the activities of the kingdom of darkness. Let's ask Natalie to still continue at that point before we ask Sister Masha to read for us.
Esther and Mordecai's response in the day of opportunity. Esther and Mordecai did not waste their opportunity. They did not go about the peripheral. They immediately swung into action and summoned all the king's scribes and sat them down in the king's conference chamber, where decrees are crafted. Drafts were made and read many times to ensure they did not omit anything of importance. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. Mm-hmm. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and the deputies, and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. Mm-hmm. And he wrote in the king Asaros' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by posts on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. Mm-hmm. Esther 8:9-10.
Yes.
They wrote their own decree as well. They wrote in every language and dialect. Mm. They addressed all the lieutenants, the deputies, and rulers of the provinces, which were from India unto Ethiopia. They covered all the 127 provinces. They wrote unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language. Amen. I could see their wisdom as well. They address every segment of the society. Every level of government was covered. Every tribe and tongue was informed. It was a national affair. The royal courier services were engaged to go simultaneously in different directions with the message.
Wait, I just want us to pick that. The first thing I saw is that they were not going about just talking. Immediately, they sat down to action. There's an action I perceive God is calling us into as we go on through this Bible study. And I see that the first place to go is the place of prayer. It's the place where we prevail with God to intervene. He said, if two or three of you shall agree, make a symphony of anything they will ask here on earth, my Father in heaven will do it for them. God is willing to do it. So we saw that Mordecai and Esther immediately swung into action. They sent for the king's cries. They called them at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan. On the 23rd day, said, we have an important meeting here. All of you, the royal scribes, all of you that are helping us to draft constitution and all of that, it is time to write your own. So we saw the word of God noting that it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded, to the Jews, to the satraps, to the governors, and the princes of the provinces from India to Ethiopia. You can see an elaborate coverage. And brothers and sisters have been challenged. I found that people have written all kinds of junks that has only confused the body of Christ or brought us into a place of, you know, quasi kind of life. The fire had been quenched. People are only shouting and dancing, and there's no righteousness again in the land. But God said, that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm not asking you to complain. Write a decree for your people. So it becomes clear to me that we will need to write, and we must write in such a way that every tribe, every tongue, we get to know what God is saying. There are some people sitting in the Bible study that we have to translate to them. We are translating to the Malawians in Chichewa. We are translating, you know, in French to all the Francophone countries. So what we are saying is that God is saying, write your own. But what you write is not supposed to be kept in the shell in the palace. It's supposed to move around. This is where we are trusting that we will begin to ask and act very quickly, very promptly, in order to fulfill the will of God in our own generation. Let's now ask Sister Natalie to continue a little more. This is the wisdom.
This is the wisdom I must not fail to glean from Esther and Mordecai. If the truth is not published, ignorance will still destroy the people. If I do not rise to send the couriers all over the land at once, the enemy may still have the liberty to carry out the devices of Haman. It is clear to me today what I must do. We must also fill the land with our own doctrine, sealed with the king's ring and written in his name. We need the wisdom and courage to face these huge lands with the demand of his will. They wrote the decree to directly counteract the devices of Haman.
Yes.
They made sure the day that Haman decreed that all Jews should be slaughtered all over the land was also the day the Jews must rise to defend themselves and to attack their enemies.
Let's wait on you on that and ask Sister Natasha to pick it from the scripture.
Okay, so this is Esther 8, verses 11 to 13. So wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day, in all the provinces of King Hazarias, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar,
yes,
the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. Again, that's Esther chapter 8, verses 11 to 13.
Yes. Yeah.
The writing was clear and pointed. It was not a verbiage. Anyone could understand it in all the provinces. It was focused on what to achieve. It was executable. There was no ambiguity in it. What to do was clear. When to do it was specified. How to do it was definite. We must learn to walk in wisdom in this day of opportunity. The languages of the different peoples must be taken into consideration. Materials must be written in these languages. The language of the youths of these days must be employed to speak to them. Every land must be reached urgently.
Amen.
So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And that's Esther chapter 8, verse 14. Esther and Mordecai acted in time. They employed all the facilities available to propagate the new decree. They wasted no hour while it was their day. The night comes when no one can work. A decree was already in place going forth among the people. This must be pressed to overtake and overrun it. If the truth was not published, the Jews would still have perished. Though Haman, the originator of the evil decree, was now dead, his decree would still speak at the appointed time if nothing was published to counteract it. Even today, for the sake of the kingdom of our God, the post must go out henceforth.
Yes.
They must be hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. This pressure must be put on my heart and on the hearts of the king's couriers to run with this vision. The Lord must raise couriers for us in such a way that the entire land must be covered in a short while this decree. All our duty posts must be mobilized to include this in their urgent deliveries. Publishing of the truth must be urged on and pressed on by the king's command. If the truth is not preached and published, men will perish. If the truth is not spread widely, darkness would fill the earth. The kingdom posts, the king's podia, the commissioned couriers of our king must run with this message sealed in his name.
Amen. Wait, before you go ahead, we are now looking at taking responsibility. As we're looking at scriptures, we can see that the devices of the enemy seem to have gone ahead. It seems to have been established. But God, in mercy, is saying, write your own. And if we respond in writing our own, you know what the Bible says? God will advance it. He said, even the Korea, they were moving, they were running here because the king's commandment was behind it. They were running. If we will also take our position, if by the grace of God we will respond in every tribe, in every tongue, and we begin to publish the truth of the word of God anywhere and everywhere among the youth, among the men, among the women. Even if this thing that you are listening to, you just take it upon yourself that, wow, these instructions, I want to send it across to all my own contacts. There's nothing wrong about it. If God will use that to turn their heart and to prepare them for heaven, or if God will use them and he will draw them to himself to come and be part of his workforce on the face of the earth. Very, very crucial. Very crucial. So go ahead now. When we come to the passage, I would like Sister Nantri to help us read the passage, Esther 8:15-17, while our sister continue to read for us. Yes.
Esther 8:15 to 17. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad.
Amen.
The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them.
Natasha, can you go ahead now?
Okay, indeed, mourning may endure through the night, but surely joy comes in the morning. The day will soon break for God's people. While Haman reigned, the Jews mourned and buried their heads in shame. There was drinking and wild partying in Haman's compound. But now, in the same compound, there was sorrow and gnashing of teeth. God had turned the captivity of his people, and he had given them joy and gladness.
Amen.
The city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad, for righteousness was enthroned. Fear of armed robbers and hired killers on the street was gone. Peace came back to the hearts of the people. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. They had a feast and a good day. The people of God became the envy of the nations. They were converts from other peoples. It was the in thing to be a Jew in those days. Days of revival are coming again. Days
Amen.
In which righteousness will be honored and placed on the highest platform. When being a Christian will become the desire of the people, it will become a credential for appointment to high places in the nations. Honor will be brought to the name of the Lord again in the land.
Amen.
The Church of Jesus will become glorious again in the nations.
Amen.
There will be joy and gladness among God's people. There will be peace and rest on our streets. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Let the shower of blessings fall. Hasten its day, dear Lord, and bring us unto your presence again in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Before you read the next paragraph, I just want us to take note that this chapter, as we are drawing it to a conclusion, we are beginning to see that God is willing to engage us. God is saying we can have another visitation. God is saying that what is happening in your nation is not the final point. If we will come on. And I hear God saying, who knows whether this is the reason why you are in the kingdom of God at a time like this? Who knows whether this is why God has exposed you to discipleship the way he has exposed it? Who knows whether you are a pastor for a time like this, so that you may be able to have the revelation of the word of God and stand in the place of prayer. So as we conclude, we want to note that for the sake of the kingdom of God, for the sake of God's calling on our lives, days of revival are coming again. We saw that as soon as God began to walk, God turned their captivity away. And God is going to turn ours also around. Whatever corruption you have seen, God is able to turn it around. So we need to trust God. And we need to pray and say, Lord, we believe you. We know that what we cannot do for ourselves, you are able to do it for us. Lord, we choose to believe you. We choose to take you by your word. My dear sister, go ahead. Sister Masha, you want to read the next paragraph and then we will be concluding.
Yes. So Mordecai the guard has now become the prime minister. He went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white with a great crown of gold. He had garments of fine linen and purple. The people rejoice. The righteous has been enthroned. It pays to serve the Lord.
It pays to
Mordecai
serve.
Was a living example. God is faithful to all who wait on and for him.
Amen.
Now the chapter of Esther and Mordecai was opened. They both ruled the entire kingdom under the king Ahasuerus. No one queried that they were captives. They represented the God of heaven, even in the Babylon of this world.
Amen.
The day of vengeance will surely come for the wicked. God will vindicate all who put their trust in him. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. This is where this chapter is concluding. That if we will stand up, God has been looking for Esther's and Mordecai's in our own generation as well. Men and women who will engage the place of prayer, who may ask until God has risen up to help us. As we draw this to a conclusion today and this chapter, I just want to beg God on your behalf that God will mobilize you. God will set you ablaze. This spirit of prayerlessness, of going to make an empty noise in prayer that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God, that God Almighty will resolve it and draw you to himself. I want Charles to please read the prayer that we have written behind this chapter. If you feel like praying the prayer, please join us.
Help me, Lord, to wait for the time of my showing to your people. Help me not to rush for gain, but wait for you to lift me up and advance me.
Amen.
May I use the opportunity, the open door, and the access I have into your presence, not on peripheral things. I pray that I will not allow the destruction of the values of your kingdom by unscrupulous men and women and the disintegration of the church. Give me the passion, the burden to fall down at your feet and weep till the dream of the enemy is brought to nothing.
Amen.
And reversed in my own generation. I know you answer prayers. Lord, help me not to be foolish. Now that you have held out the golden scepter of your kingdom to me, may I use it to do a useful work in my generation.
Amen.
Oh, that I will arise and deliberately labor for you. Excuse me. Oh, that I will arise and deliberately labor for your will and plan to be written and inscribed on men's hearts by your word. That I will arise and fill the lands with the doctrines of Christ.
Amen.
Grant me grace not to waste this opportunity. Amen. My God.
Amen. Amen. Would you like us to pray together, dear brothers and dear sisters, wherever you are? Would you like to pray? This is your day. You said yesterday was Haman's, but today is your day. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has brought you in. We're in the kingdom at a time like this, and God is saying, If two of you shall agree together, if the two of you that are sitting there is you and your wife, why wouldn't you agree together? Say, if two of you shall agree together, make a symphony of one thing, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. God will do it. He will decree a thing, and it shall be established. Would you like to pray and say, Lord, I will not I will not be wasting my life. I will not be wasting my opportunity anymore. Please set me ablaze. Set me on fire. Cause your spirit of prayer to come upon us as your people today. Cause us to walk into that which you have ordained for us at this critical point in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the spirit of prayer, the spirit of supplication will fall upon us again. You said, when this happens, oh, people will mourn. They will look for you. They will look for your glory. They will look for your presence again. Lord, I ask that even today, set our heart ablaze. Cause us not to waste the privilege and the opportunity of prayer. Please help us now and show us your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. And those who join us today, I ask you, Father, that you will not let them go unless you bless them. You will not leave them, O God, until you have blessed their lives. You will cause them to understand that this Jesus is the one that answers prayer. And they will repose their confidence, their trust in the man of Calvary. Lord, please help us. Let the day come again, O Lord, when your people will rejoice. When we will see souls of men being carted away from the kingdom of darkness into your kingdom. When we will see men standing up, standing to defend the faith. Lord, please grant this to us as we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.